Help DEA keep our communities safe and healthy by participating in National Prescription Drug Takeback Day, Saturday, October 25th. Take action right in your own home by cleaning out your medicine cabinet of unneeded medications. Keep them safe, clean them out, take them back. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeback.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent prescription drug misuse before it starts. That's DEATakeback.com.
Hola, amigo.
Hola, señor.
¿Cómo está?
Voulez-vous coucher à ce soir? I know that's French, isn't it?
You're a not fucking good at absolute moron. You know what? Roll the intro because I'm having a cold opener today. Right, hello everybody and welcome back to Box Box Box, your favourite Formula One podcast. I'm Sam.
I'm Dom.
And what are we talking about this week?
We are talking about, well, McLaren's obvious dominance once again. It's like...
honestly, unreal, mate.
It's like the Red Bull thing and the Mercedes dominance, except it's very early into it and McLaren are locking out the front row every...
Absolutely, mate. They're fucking sending it.
They're taking the podium pretty much every race.
Eyes on Valtteri Bottas with a return back to F1 as a primary driver with Cadillac.
I think that's not the first time that rumour's come about, but I can't wait to dive into a bit more on that.
Red Bull evaluates replacements amid Verstappen's disciplinary concerns.
I think that's got something to do with the fact that Red Bull are kind of figuring out the idea because he could get a race ban.
Yeah, 100%.
So we'll find out when we dig into that.
Apologies for anybody who had to listen to me adjust my mic also. Sorry about that. Hülkenberg getting in the points with Sauber.
Hülkenberg.
And obviously, have you seen about Lee McKenzie, the Channel 4 reporter?
No.
He does like Channel 4's Formula 1 coverage.
I personally haven't a clue, but I'd probably recognise their voice, maybe.
And his face, to be fair.
Maybe.
But also, Dom, 20 episodes and we're finally picking up some listeners. Regular week in, week out listeners. Like, people are coming up to you now and like saying, oh, I've listened to your podcast. I recognise your voice and like your face.
I'm fine with that.
It's concerning, that is.
It's like having a face for radio.
You know, 20 podcast. Episodes. I'll be honest, I'm surprised we made it this far.
Chin chin. No more Red Bull.
Pepes now.
Sorry for the slurps, guys.
Yeah, you're welcome. Anyway, diving straight in to the news.
My favourite Formula One driver currently.
Take it away.
And my...
Also, I've done this episode again this week. Don't know the fuck I've squeezed it in, but for somehow we've just... Every week we seem to have really busy weeks and they're just getting busier. Thank you to everybody who's booking us work, but fuck me.
It's been chaos, hasn't it? But yeah. Carnage. So my favourite Formula One driver currently and my prediction for the World Championship earlier on this year, Oscar Piastri led a McLaren 1-2 finish at the Spanish Grand Prix, securing his fifth win in 9 races and extending his championship lead over teammate Lando Norris. Also, not here that it's mentioned, but Oscar Piastri is now joint with most race wins in a season so far compared to previous Australian racers. So, big up on that one. Meanwhile, Max Verstappen received a 10-second penalty and 3 penalty points on his racing licence for colliding with George Russell, which I'm sure we're going to talk a lot about in a minute, bringing his total penalty points to 11. One more point could result in a race ban. That would be the second ever time in Formula One if that was to happen, prompting Red Bull to consider potential stand-in drivers.
And let's be honest, the seat that we never thought we'd see get switched out was the number one and the 4-time world champion.
Yeah. That's like,
I mean, it's definitely I'm going to save the comments about Verstappen today till a little bit later on when we talk about the race, because I have no words. I do have words for him.
But give me a minute because I've got lots of words. That's what it is.
It's like, I have no words for this situation, but you have, but they're just not socially acceptable to say.
Well, obviously, on Tuesday, when I went to Formula One Arcade, while you were working to go...
Not to Sprint Tuesdays. If you do want good value for money, Sprint Tuesdays, it's good value for money. It's good fun.
I think it was because it was the friend who I went with, it was his boss's first time there.
Yeah, it was also one of them ones where he was on the company credit card, so it's like, oh, fuck it.
Yeah, and... basically, I was trying to explain to him how, because I was wearing a McLaren shirt.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, you support McLaren. And I tell this everyone when they ask me about Formula One. I try and be as unbiased as possible. And, you know, I don't want to, I have a favoured driver at the moment because.
Oh, yeah, same.
But I don't, I try not to discriminate on any drivers or teams or whatever. But
Except after Verstappen, I
was going to say, we steered away from it really, really well, didn't we? And we were like, we're not hating on Verstappen or Red Bull anymore. And
we actually made a conscious effort to not be that, because obviously we...
It became second nature to us, like we were actually being nice. And then after this...
It's one of those ones where I saw Verstappen, he was becoming a better person as well. And like that, I understand it's high stress environments, but yeah, we'll get onto that later on.
Yes.
But more importantly, Valtteri Bottas, eyes return with, wow, I wrote that like a dyslexic motherfucker. The eyes are on Valtteri Bottas to return with Cadillac. Valtteri Bottas is currently the reserve driver for Mercedes. He's expressed interest in returning to the F1 grid with Cadillac's upcoming team. He has described the project as a very interesting opportunity and is exploring options for a 2026 comeback, including discussions with Alpine. Now, I feel Valtteri Bottas is like the ultimate face for Cadillac, because I feel he would start turning up in like a check shirt, Levi 501s and a cowboy hat.
Yeah.
He would be like Mr. America.
Well, that's the thing. No, you say Mr. America and, you know, the checkered shirt and 501s. But is Cadillac, like, from what you're describing, correct me if I'm wrong, you're describing like a generic kind of south of the United States of America.
Have you seen everything else Cadillac enters?
Yeah, but...
It is America!
But I don't... Maybe it's just my kind of clouded vision of Cadillac. But when I think of Cadillac in America... I think of California, West Coast.
That's like lowrider seeing Cadillac, though.
Yeah. So, I don't know. That's just, like I said, that's maybe just my collective judgment of it. I don't really associate Cadillac anywhere else. I know it's all over. Like
it does sort of blows my mind that General Motors entered Cadillac and not some like Corvette.
Yeah. Well, Corvette would be the much more... Yeah. Racing pedigree.
I mean, then again, I say that Cadillac's got a Le Mans team.
That was what I would have brought up if you.
Yeah, they've got LMP1, and they've got obviously that NASCAR that they used as a.
Well, they've got
that was making freedom noises.
The car that they enter for Le Mans.
They have two cars at Le Mans. That's an LMP1.
That's just That's like the because Bentley do a similar one as well, don't they? They kind of all look very similar, don't they?
Colors
and things, but yeah, fair enough. But we digress. We haven't actually talked about Bottas in other than him turning up dressed as Mr. America. I think if this is like this isn't the first time that this rumor's come through, but other than, you know, his personality, I really do feel like he could put more.
He could bring a lot of knowledge of Formula One.
Yeah.
Because he's been in the sport for a long time now, Bottas is.
And Cadillac are coming in.
As a brand new team.
Yeah, which in recent years, the only time that's been done is Haas.
Is it Ferrari who's their engine builder?
I haven't a clue. Let's do some digging for next week.
Yeah, I swear to God it's Ferrari.
It may well be. Ferrari did Haas, and I think they still do.
Yeah, Ferrari still do Haas's powertrain.
So it wouldn't be uncommon. And it could be Mercedes, who knows?
Speaking of Haas, did you see Formula One Arcade Philadelphia opened?
Yes.
With Jazzy Jeff.
By the one and only Jazzy Jeff.
With Jazzy Jeff and had the literal last year's Haas car outside.
That is.
Some fucking madness. So we're not sponsored by Formula One Arcade. It's the one venue that you can talk about.
Well, we go. And how many people have we like met and started talking to?
Oh, honestly.
And we plug our podcast to everyone.
Like, on the flip side, people who go there like, oh, listen to your podcast. I'm like, sick.
Thank you.
The Spotify algorithm is
No one's asked for a photo yet, though. That's when we know we're doing well.
That's when you know when you've made it.
Oh, guys, can we get a photo? Yay.
No.
Please,
no.
You know, someone. Please. I don't want to look like we're begging for attention, but that'd really make our day.
Begging you. Anyway, moving on, Dominic.
Yes, so our favourite topic, Max Verstappen and how much we dislike him. With Max Verstappen on the brink of a race ban, Red Bull is assessing potential replacement candidates, including rookie Isaac Hadjar, reserve driver the Japanese guy whose name I'm not going to try and butcher right now, but
Ayumu Iswara.
Oh yeah, that one. And veteran Daniel Ricciardo.
Danny Rick. Bring back Danny Rick.
And young talent Arvid Lindblad. Team principal Christian Horner has praised Hajar's performance, indicating he's a strong contender. I wholeheartedly agree. Hajar.
I agree. Hajar has been Hajar's better. So is better than Liam Lawson.
Yeah,
and he's actually a better driver.
I'd argue at the moment that Hajar is putting in a better season-wide performance than Kimi Antonelli's. Kimi Antonelli's good, but the big advantage that Antonelli's got is he's in a better car.
Yes and no. The thing is, Kimi, like, fair enough, like the last couple of, like the last race, obviously, he had powertrain failure.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not including his, he hasn't done, other than a couple of crashes, but
yeah,
it is what it is.
He's a rookie.
He's a rookie. And if he's having a couple of crashes, it shows he's giving everything.
But the thing is also, like, some of the other drivers, they've come from Formula 2.
Yeah.
Kimi came from Formula 4 straight up to Formula 1.
Yeah. So,
I will say, have you watched The Seat yet?
Not yet. It's on my list of things.
Honestly, like, if you haven't watched The Seat, we'll speak about it when Dom's watched it. Please watch it as soon as possible. Because honestly, like, it really shows an insight to who were the other options for Mercedes. And, like, you see a real insight to what it takes to be picked as a Formula 1 driver.
Yeah, well, there was a tiny bit, and I literally mean a tiny bit of coverage in regards to Mercedes choices kind of as soon as they found out about Hamilton in the latest season of Drive to Survive, but it obviously doesn't go into much detail, but yeah. So, but again, we've took this topic that we've started talking about and gone completely off on a tangent with someone else.
You know what? Full disclosure, it is Thursday the 5th today.
Yeah, yeah.
This podcast goes live in literally less than like 10 hours.
Yeah.
So this is why it's a bit of a shit show today.
Well, we've just gone off on a tangent, but that means it's an engaging subject, I would imagine.
Exactly. But more importantly...
No, we need to talk about... Oh, no, we can talk about Red Bull.
We spoke about Red Bull like 5 minutes ago. Fuck Red Bull. more importantly, though, Hülkenberg places fifth and actually gets Sauber in the points. Like, and you know what? You know, I'm going to read exactly what it says. Nico Hülkenberg achieved a remarkable fifth-place finish at the Spanish Grand Prix, propelling Sauber from the bottom right to eighth in the Constructors' Championship.
Imagine doing that in one race.
This marks the team's best result in 3 years, and all 16 of their points this season have come from Hülkenberg. You know what? I really feel Sauber was a good choice picking Hülkenberg.
Yeah. Again, from watching the race, I don't know how much of that effort was 100% Hülkenberg's doing, like how much he drove to secure that fifth place. But at the same time, after seeing Leclerc, Hamilton and everything else that went on in that race and people literally racing,
yeah,
in the grand scheme of things, bar the last five laps, the whole race was a bit meh.
Yeah.
But something definitely happened and someone stepped up, and well, I think it was Antonelli crashing that caused it to step up. Or no, his engine went, didn't it? It didn't crash. I can't even remember. Formula One podcast. Can't remember the race.
Yeah.
But it, to be honest, it's the longest wait that we've done since doing an episode where we watched the race. And I feel like I don't want to take it away from Hülkenberg for his efforts, but I mean, how much of his driving caused him to go into fifth. I don't know. It's very controversial, but Yeah,
and obviously the final one, which I know I'll read, which I know you kind of don't know anything about, but Lea McKenzie, she's a... I said he earlier, but I meant she. I got confused.
Oh, I didn't know, and that's why I said they.
Yeah. Channel 4 Formula 1 presents. Channel 4 is basically where in the UK you get your free coverage of Formula 1 if you're not a Sky Sports subscriber.
Yeah, you get like the highlights and like a race in 30 sort of thing, don't you?
Yeah, pretty much. But Channel 4 Formula 1 presenter Lea McKenzie has spoken out against the online trolls who target her appearance and weight after she returned to work post-surgery. She emphasised that the importance of being respectful online, especially towards individuals recovering from health changes. And you know what? Like, don't wrong, we've got a friend, and what's Scott's name? Fat Scott.
I was going to say blood before or after.
Right. Scott has lost a shitload of weight.
Yeah.
Scott was a big lad. He's still known as Fat Scott. He literally calls himself Fat Scott. But that's within a friend group. But I wouldn't just go up to somebody, you know, and be like, oh, you fat fuck.
Yeah.
Nah, it's just disrespectful, you know.
See, this is the thing. I say this to people all the time because me being as tall as I am, it's quite a common interaction that someone will come up to me and go, fuck me, you're tall, ain't you? And I'm fine with that. Like, it doesn't offend me.
Just for context, Dommy's 6'7".
Yeah. And
that's 2 meters.
People will come up and talk to me about that. And that's usually the first thing that comes out of their mouth. And as I said, I'm not offended or upset or bothered by that. But someone else could be, especially people that aren't comfortable with the fact that they are so tall or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I had an interaction with someone before. And he came up to me and said that straight away. And my instant response straight back at them, this was a bald person. And I went, fuck me, you're bald, ain't you? And it's like, ooh. And you could see that he wasn't offended, but I think he understood just from that alone. I was like, yeah, it's not nice, is it? Like, you know, I'm tall. And it's the same thing as saying to someone, oh, fuck me, you're fat. Like, you wouldn't say that to someone. But so why would you say that?
The thing is, if she's had surgery, then, like, this sounds bad, mate. Like, I've seen people have surgery. Like, if you're off your feet, bro, you're fucked.
Yeah.
You're fucked. What are you going to do? Like, do crunches in bed whilst you're recovering. Get fucked. Absolutely not, mate. Bro, give me a big fuck off pack of cookies and let me watch Netflix.
Yeah.
And let me just reevaluate my poor life decision.
That is the best way to recover from a hospital visit or surgery or anything like that. Is just, well, they tell you to rest, so rest.
I don't know why, but it's just made me want a shababs now.
Ooh, I had a shababs on Monday.
I haven't been in ages.
We'll have to go one of the days.
What are you doing later? We'll discuss that later. We can't do that. Anyway, I want a new kitchen, mate. That's what it is.
Should we dive straight into
qualifying?
So much qualifying. I did, didn't I?
So I'm not going to lie, mate. This was a quick summary notes.
Yes, I did watch qualifying. We'll go through the summary notes
So straight out of the gate. McLaren looked great. That McLaren are just looking great.
From what I saw of very little coverage that I watched of all of the practices, it seems to be a running thing that McLaren are doing at the moment, from what I've noticed, is practice, they won't give it everything often.
It's more they're just working at what's the right set for the car.
Yeah, and then as soon as qualifying comes, it's like, ha-ha, everyone thinks, oh, have McLaren lost pace? Because there was the big, everyone's changed like their front wings for this.
Yeah, because obviously there was a new initiative on that.
Yeah.
Basically, so
McLaren didn't do anything. Everyone else changed them.
They didn't need to, did they?
Yeah, exactly.
Because everyone else was running slightly flexible wings, which they classed as like a form of DRS.
Yeah.
As opposed to
which will be allowed next season. Like, active aero, but not DRS. I can't remember. We talked about it before.
I remember, we were speaking about that the other day. But obviously, Piastri and Norris top traded fastest laps all the time in qualifying and in practice. Piastri topped FP2 and FP3. To be honest, the whole race, Piastri just looked... He looked dialed in. I don't know if you saw, Mercedes ran heavier as well. This isn't just qualifying. This is qualifying and practice, by the way. Mercedes ran heavier in FP3, which what everybody was kind of saying was that they were focusing on more of a longer run.
Yeah, because that's kind of... I think Mercedes' best kind of... The best results that they've had is when they've played the long game in the race, and I know I joke about it all the time, but it's like George Russell's constantly waiting for someone to make a mistake so he can pounce on it. But that's because they're playing the long game, and you know, if it looked like they were focusing on long runs in FP3, that kind of makes sense. Ferrari.
Honestly, Ferrari, I have no words for Ferrari these days.
It's just Ferrari, isn't it?
Yeah. Next.
So
Norris was quick to see it in the first practice.
Yeah.
In free practice one. I mean, again, Red Bull did seem a bit off though across the sessions and in quali. And to be honest, in the race, Red Bull just didn't seem dialed in for this.
Well, Yuki was out in, I don't know, is there a note for it? No. Yuki was out in Q1, I think, 20th.
Yeah.
So, and like dead at the bottom, and it's like, oh no. So, damn. That's a nice sentence for you about Red Bulls.
You know what though? Antonelli did look good, bar until the actual race when shit hit the fan.
But
he looked good all race.
He did. He always does. It's almost he's giving the vibes that Colapinto Pinto gave off at the end of last season, where he took the last couple of races, and he was kind of he was showing loads of potential, but he was just having problems. Some were of his own fault and some weren't. And, you know, sometimes he wouldn't finish, but that's how it is. So
no, straight up. And I think it's also, it's, I'm going to let you talk about this because I've just noticed the camera has just gone out of focus. But obviously, McLaren literally locked out the front row. First time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as we were talking about, so you mentioned as well, you've got a note here that you put out for us to talk about. All lovely. Is qualifying was tight. And, nice. It's Q3's margins, as written here, were razor thin. I think everyone was within 0.05 or 0.5 of a second.
I'm back, baby.
That was like, that's insane. Yeah. When you think about it in the grand scheme of things for that. But as you say, McLaren locking out the front row. First time since 98 in Barcelona. That's McLaren are back, baby.
McLaren are back. Can you go back to roasting red and white now? I'm done with papaya. Like, can you bring back the Marlboro liveries?
Honestly.
Just find a new sponsor. Like, it'll let you do it.
Who's red and white that we could do? That would make a great Formula One team sponsor. Alan and Heath.
Alan and Grief.
Yeah.
Stiana Gloss.
Oh, no, their colours like that aquary, baby bluey green.
But it's black and gold at the minute, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
Black and gold. Brother.
But yeah, on McLaren and their amazing lockout in Q3 for P1 and P2, I remember watching Piastri's like final lap. The whole lap, because it was like, you know, Norris and Piastri. So Norris P1, Piastri P2. And you could just tell that Piastri was like, nah, that's not how this is going to go down. And just, he, in the words of Danny Rick, he licked the stamp and sent it.
Yeah, literally. Well, I remember watching, because I was at F1 during quality. And I remember obviously just watching like the sectors, like the coloured sectors.
And it was like purple.
It was like purple. It was like perfect sectors.
Yeah.
Like he was absolutely like beast
mode. Last corner, as he was coming around that last corner, the onboard camera that they showed in the broadcast, you could just see he was gripping on for dear life.
Yeah, he was just flying.
So that was absolutely incredible from him.
But also, as well, Verstappen and Russell setting identical times.
I didn't actually notice.
Yeah. Verstappen and Russell set identical times, but because Verstappen set his time slot first, he got the place.
That's fair and understandable, I guess.
You know, though, again, you're banging on about Antonelli, but he split the Ferraris.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to say that's not that impressive because it's the Ferraris and, you know, seven-time world champion and Charles Leclerc, who's, you know, world-class. But I don't want to take it away from him. I don't want to look like I'm hating on Antonelli or Mercedes or whatever.
Care what you're saying, then, motherfucker.
Yeah, but I love Antonelli. Like, I really do. But
yeah,
yeah. I to be fair, I'm just going to shut up before I dig myself a hole. Yeah, I do like Antonelli. I don't want to look like I'm shitting on him.
You know, though, Alonso snuck into Q3 because it was Spain.
Yeah,
the crowd bloody went wild. But you know what? Let's move on to the actual race.
Yeah, I think that's good.
You know what? Piastri straight off the line, though. So obviously we had 1-2. McLaren's, then it was, have I got the grid? No, I don't.
Race results. Oh, you mean qualifying?
Yeah.
Yeah, no idea.
I'm pretty sure it was Verstappen in P3. No, it was Leclerc in P3, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe it was.
Yeah, it was Leclerc in P3. Obviously, you saw Verstappen come through, take Norris on the first corner, because Norris bottled it. But Piastri off the line, mate, he was gone.
Yeah.
He was like, fuck this shit, I am out of here.
I think it was Verstappen in P3, just because the next note is Norris dropped P3 behind Verstappen. So I vaguely remember now of Verstappen trying to put the pressure on. Because that's what it was for pretty much most of the race, was Verstappen
putting
the pressure on and bouncing between the McLarens and trying to get ahead. But I don't think... other than obvious pit stops and things like that, I don't think... I think McLaren held the lead, be it Norris or Piastri, for at least 90% of the race.
I'll tell you about it in a little bit, actually. No, actually, I'm going to bring it up now. Well, so obviously, at some point, we'll probably get to it. This is in the notes, I can't remember. But obviously, Verstappen led the race for a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And I saw a thread from Red Bull saying, Max Verstappen P1, and then literally, like, obviously half an hour later, all the shit that went down, I just saw a comment, and I swear to God, it was from someone like McLaren, who said, this didn't age well.
Yeah. Sounds about right. McLaren's social media team is probably, I think, second best on the grid.
Who would you say is the best?
VCarb. If you don't follow VCarb on anything.
Matt, I saw...
Liam Lawson and Isaac Ajar, they just do like voiceovers and stuff. Yeah, like I saw...
You remember the one on X Factor?
Yeah. Yeah, with the Peter Andre thing. Yeah. Honestly, hysterical. If you're in it for a little bit of like out of race entertainment, follow VCarb, even if you're not a fan, just because it's hysterical. McLaren's definitely the best in terms of how fast they get the content out in regards.
Yeah, but so their team, their social media team needs a fucking pay rise.
But VCarb is hysterical.
You know though, Leclerc took both the Mercedes drivers early, straight into P4.
Yeah.
Obviously moving on with the race, because it was all pretty boring from there. Norris gets back P2 on lap 13 with DRS pass on Verstappen.
That's 12 laps that Norris had to sit behind Verstappen.
Fuck that. So obviously Verstappen boxed early as well, and used that to undercut both McLaren's. That's when he took the lead.
Yeah.
It's one of them ones where, like, that's good race strategy.
Yeah.
I can't take it away from McLaren on that one. Yeah. Not from McLaren, from Red Bull.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Obviously, McLaren responds and does a stop on 21 and 22, rejoining behind Max. But obviously, Max was on softs.
Yeah.
I think the McLaren's came on mediums.
I can't remember.
I didn't actually put that in. Obviously, Verstappen's fucking tyres. He's on softs. You're going to get, what, six laps out of him? Six, maybe ten.
Six good laps. You can run him out for about 10 to 12.
10 at a push, that's what I mean. So obviously, he has to go and pit again on 29, coming back out on a mediums. Obviously, then there's the battle pretty much backward and forward between him and Claire.
Well, obviously, Verstappen came back out in P4.
Yeah.
Back behind, Leclerc and the two McLarens leading, so.
Yeah. Then obviously, so he overtakes Leclerc on lap 35.
Finally gets his P3 back.
Yeah.
This is where it gets interesting. Well, starts to get interesting.
Well, yeah, so the race up to here was a bit mid. So obviously then Verstappen does his final planned pit stop with his tyre allocation. Coming out, back on softs again. McLaren's pit again to cover. Obviously, felt so sorry for Antonelli. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it either an engine failure or a gearbox failure?
It was something. I think it was a power unit failure. Yeah. So
I do remember around here as well, Verstappen's radio calling, when, guys, my gearbox feels fucked. It feels like Spain 77.
Yeah, he's dropping more years in it.
Yeah. Guys, my gearbox feels fucked. And you use race engine, you go, 74. And he's like, it's 73. He went, no, 74. That made me laugh.
Like, I would have thought Verstappen and his team have got a
sense of humour. But yeah, so obviously in this time, Antonelli has a complete either an engine power unit failure or gearbox failure.
Antonelli retires basically and triggers a safety car.
The top basically nine drivers in the pit, in the pack, everybody boxes. Verstappen comes out on hards.
Yeah, because he has...
That's all the allocation that's left, and he's going mad at his race engines. He's like, why the fuck am I on hards?
Yeah.
But to be honest, he shouldn't have pitted. He should have just stayed on.
Yeah, if he would have stayed on, he probably would have won.
Like, he should have radioed, what tyres have I got left?
Yeah. But that's not how a lot of the kind of racing drivers think about things, is it? There's a safety car, free pit stop.
Yeah.
Let's go. I don't know, the way that you've got to look at it is, I don't imagine he keeps track of what tyres he uses over the weekend, because it's not really his job.
No, that's something, but like, again, that should have been his race engineer. Like, when he says, yeah, box, they should have said, you've only got these tyres left.
Yeah, exactly.
Like when that radio call was...
But I suppose, I don't know how far around the track he was when they made the safety car announcement.
Yeah.
And whether there's enough time. You've got to think the lap times were about 1:10, I think.
And 1:10 to get the tyres...
And you've got to think that's 30. You got to get 30, 45 seconds of...
decision making.
Well, 35 seconds, isn't it?
Well, yeah, so realistically, say 30 seconds, that's to make the decision.
Yeah, and the call.
Get the tyre warmers off, get the pit crew in position.
Mm.
Like, and knowing how quick everybody is, that's not a lot of time in...
Yeah. Well, I imagine
it's a lot of time in racing, but it's not as well.
You've got to think that Red Bull have kind of made the decision there and then, well, before that, the safety cars even happened, where they've gone, we're not pitting anymore. We've got no more stops left. So I'm not saying they've all kind of switched off and got out of their overalls, but they've all kind of gone, we can kind of relax a little bit now.
Yeah, as opposed to they've had to go from...
And maybe, as you say, they've got the hard ready because that's the only other set of tyres.
Well,
that's
what I mean. Their entire warmer is just keeping them warm, but...
But they're not...
Well, tyre conditioners, if we want to be fucking anal about it.
But yeah, so I don't know. But anyway.
But anyway, moving
too
on.
Too long didn't read. Max Verstappen was angry that he got hard tyres put on his car for the last however
the TLDR.
Many laps.
Anyway, so safety car ends on lap 60. Verstappen, obviously, he accelerates and you see his back end just...
Well, that was it when he come round the last corner onto the straight.
He fully like tank slapper, didn't he?
Yeah.
He was like...
He was like, ooh. But credit to him.
He kept under control.
He kept it.
He thought, you know what, I need to watch that back with the Verstappen cam, because I guarantee his input to keep that under control was...
30 driving level, that was. But obviously, because of that...
It happened. Leclerc was like, see ya.
Yeah, because he kind of twitched and lost the back end of it. Leclerc took full advantage of it. Verstappen did come and... So we're going to talk about the incident after this in a second, but... Before that, everyone's got their opinion on that one, but I feel like it's a hard judgment to make on whether Leclerc went into Verstappen or Verstappen went into Leclerc.
Now, for me...
I think for the silly way to say it is it was just a racing incident, and it really was. It was
just a racing incident. However, I do believe that Verstappen unintentionally went into Leclerc, because you look at all the footage and everything, look at everything, it was Leclerc's line. He was already past him.
Yeah.
It wasn't like where Leclerc had pushed him off.
Yeah.
Like, he was already past him. It was Leclerc's rear wheel that went into him.
Yeah.
So it was one of those ones where it wasn't just like...
That's
how I look at that.
I stand on it, and I do personally think it was just contact from close call racing.
Yeah.
High intensity racing, personally. So I don't...
However, George Russell, on the other hand...
Oh, yeah. George Russell.
Russell attempts to pass Verstappen. Max cuts the corner and is told to give back the place. So obviously, Max used the escape road.
Yeah.
Which, you know what? I want to quickly speak about this. This is why, for me, racetracks are better, because they have escape roads.
Like, yeah.
Like when the street races...
If that was like Baku or Singapore...
Yeah, fucked.
Verstappen had been like...
In the gravel trap.
Yeah. Well, no, he'd have been in the wall. Or like, even Albert Park in Australia. If it was that close... He could have died.
As opposed to a proper
racetrack, he had the runoff and it was smooth and he managed to go off and carry on racing.
But so, obviously, that gave him an advantage. Don't care what anyone says, he took an advantage.
Russell had the line.
Russell was on the line.
He didn't push him off. Russell had the line. And Verstappen, I think George had just kind of gone, I'm not playing the... like move out my way or crash things.
Yeah.
So he played the Verstappen game.
To be honest, he just played chicken with him.
Yeah.
He's got bigger balls then.
Yeah.
Then.
Like it was Russell's
line. If you crash into me, he was like, you're fucked.
Yeah.
You're losing any points you're going to get.
Exactly. He'd almost be out of the contention for Drivers' Championship.
Yeah.
And Mercedes are second in constructors. So they both kind of got quite a bit to lose, but Verstappen definitely had more to lose, and I think that's why he went off into the kind of...
Sorry, I haven't actually put the Constructors' Championship on here today. Sorry, mate.
That's all right. We can catch up on it on the next race after Canada.
Yeah, of course. So, yeah, anyway. So, team orders, give back the place.
Yeah.
Simple. Max is like, absolutely not. He pushed me off. This is my place.
Yeah.
And they're like, Max, give back the place or take the penalty.
Yeah.
Like, and then he's like, no.
I didn't even hear him say anything about him...
I'm pretty sure they were along the lines of like, if you don't give back the place, there's going to be consequences.
Yeah.
And he's like, nope. And then he's like, okay. He went, I'll give him back the place. And anyway, basically, as George goes to overtake, that's when Max, don't care what anyone says, rams him.
Yeah, I think I've seen it covered by lots of untrustworthy outlets and things, and I haven't actually seen a trustworthy place announce it, but I'm pretty certain he did admit and say, you know, yeah, he did kind of retaliate out of anger or whatever. But again,
you can't be like that.
Yeah.
You can't be like that. You put in yourself, light and another driver's life in danger.
And you got to think, depending on what would have happened, it could have been that was the battle for P3 between P4 and P3. So and it's just after a safety car.
So it's P4 and P3 and P4.
Yeah, that's what I mean. No, it was P3 and P4 because.
Leclerc was in P3.
P4, yeah, sorry.
P5.
So that means you've got 15 other cars. Well, no, there was two cars that didn't. But, you know, 13 other cars behind you after a safety car. So everyone's bunched up.
So the pack, you could have literally...
You could have took out...
Half the grid.
Well, that would have been 15 drivers. If it could have been an accident that would have caused damage to all 15. You know, that, highly unlikely, but it's possible.
But it's possible, and... For me, like, obviously, so the stewards issue Verstappen with a 10-second penalty. And can I be honest, that's not enough. He should have been disqualified. Bless you.
Bless me. Yes, I wholeheartedly agree.
I really do.
He should have had 100% a race ban.
A race ban for the next race.
Because you can't turn into a driver intentionally to crash into them. Granted, didn't really do any damage.
But that's not the point.
No, it could have been lethal for any form all parties involved.
Like, the FIA bang on about they want to make Formula 1 safer and make it more regulated, but then shit like that happens.
Yeah.
And for me, like, fucking Michael Massey needs to fucking give his head a shake.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. Michael Massey, once again, Michael Massey was the guy at Abu Dhabi 21.
Yeah. I don't know if he was actually the race controller, but he's normally one for most of
the time. Okay. I thought you were saying he was. So, because I wasn't aware, but yeah, that is, if it is, he loves a bit of safety car at the end of the race controversy, doesn't he?
Yeah, but straight up, Verstappen should have been disqualified without a shadow of a doubt.
So
that should have been one of them ones where, like, it should literally get him off the track.
Yeah.
He's a danger.
Well,
because we spoke about at Monaco when George passed
Albon.
Albon, and he was like, he's being a fucking madman, and that wasn't as bad as that.
No, well, it wasn't as dangerous. That's the thing. And there was no contact.
You know, it seems to be that there's a recurring theme of just people trying it with George Russell at the minute.
I think because he seems so, like, nice and wholehearted and down to earth and whatever, that people think that they can take advantage of him. And George is going, do you know what? I've had enough.
Fuck this shit. I've had enough.
So, but what did that result in for him, Sam, after, well, for Verstappen after his hair?
P10.
So, yeah. Well, he got a 10-second penalty, didn't he?
Yeah, he got a 10-second penalty and ended up in P10. But on the positives, it was a 1-2 finish with Leclerc taking the podium for McLaren with Norris, not the fucking Piastri, taking the podium. Good God, sorry, my notes are my dyslexic, guys. I'm going to say that again.
Go again.
It was a 1-2 finish for McLaren with Piastri taking the podium, followed by Norris in P2 and Ferrari's Charles Leclerc in P3. Russell finished in P4 and Hulkenberg last minute overtakes Hamilton. I mean, I bet Hulkenberg, I bet his chopper felt fucking massive in that F1 car, you know. You've just overtaken the 7-time world champion in a Sauber.
Yeah, while he's in a fucking Ferrari.
While he's in a Ferrari.
So,
rounded it up, got last few little bits of talking points, Tom, go for it.
Yeah, again, my rookie of the year so far, Hajar, impresses everyone with his P7 finish. So it was Hulkenberg, Hamilton, Hajar. Gasly and Alonso round out the points with P8 and P9 because Verstappen dropped into P10.
And he's now only 1 point away from a race ban.
Yeah, that is...
Again, McLaren extends the lead of the Constructors' Championship with another 10 points as well.
Yeah, so that's... Well, 10 points ahead of Mercedes? No, that can't be right. I think he's got another 10 points ahead. But we'll
that's mean that, that's mean that it literally says like they've gained another 10 points to be ahead. However, let's go through the grid. I'll take the odd. You can take the even.
Hang on. You've done the driver stands, haven't you? Right. So, race results. Who's good? What you doing even?
Yeah.
Okay. So P1.
Yeah, go on.
P1 was Oscar Piastri.
P2 is Lando Norris.
P3, Charles Leclerc.
P4, George Russell.
P5, something I never thought I'd say, Nico Hülkenberg.
P6, Lewis Hamilton.
P7 is Isaac Hajar.
P8 is... P8 Pierre Gasly. That's what I can do with me.
No, I was just moving away. Just yeah.
Disappointing.
P9, Fernando Alonso.
P10, Max Verstappen.
Then in P11, Liam Lawson.
Hang on, I lost my page. P12, Gabriel Bortoletto. What a name.
P13, although he didn't finish in the points, a good fight from where he qualified, Yuki Tsunoda.
P14, Carlos Sainz Jr.
P15, Franco Colapinto.
P16 hasn't got any penalties this time because they gave him to Max Verstappen. He's Esteban Ocon.
P17, Oliver Bearman.
P18 through retirement because of engine is Andrea Kimi Antonelli.
Yeah. P19, again, due to retirement, is Alexander Albon.
And DNS, you know, we haven't even spoke about this, Lance Stroll.
Yeah.
Lance Stroll, did you ever see, he basically just fucked up his hand, didn't he?
Too much wanking. Have you seen that scene?
No, it's the sheer weight of daddy's money.
That's what it is.
It's the sheer weight.
I was going to wear an Aston Martin shirt today, and I was like, no, because I've got to wear my Barcelona hat.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, that's McLaren Honda. So I was like, well, I'm going to put on my lovely, trusty old McLaren Honda shirt.
I'll tell you, like I told you about it, but Costco at the minute, they have like road shows for like sportswear, but they had like loads of Formula One stuff in, walked in, and there was loads of Max Verstappen. I was like, absolutely fucking not. Loads of McLaren stuff, loads of Lando Norris stuff. I was like, absolutely fucking not. I'm wearing a Norris shirt. I like the guy, but I was like, I either want to play a plane or a Piastri. I was like, I want to be behind Piastri because Piastri's a funny guy. But then there was the Aston Martin side. All of it was Alonso. Not one bit of Lance Stroll.
Yeah.
Like, but anyway, driver standings, currently leading the driver championship is Oscar Piastri with 186 points.
10 points behind him is the one and only Lando Norris.
Then behind Lando, third in the driver's championship, is the biggest cunt on the grid at the minute, apparently, is Max Verstappen with 137 points.
Nice. I couldn't have said it better myself. Fourth in the standings, George Russell for Mercedes with 111.
Then fifth in the championship is Charles Leclerc with 94 points.
Then right behind him, but not that close, surprisingly, Lewis Hamilton with 71 points.
Then it's, for me, the best of the rookies. My watch is telling me to do exercise. And
I just had this same thing.
That was the get fucked. is Andrea Kimi Antonelli with 48 points as a fucking rookie.
Fair play.
Smashing Fair play. It.
In eighth in the driver's standings is Alexander Albon racing for Williams with 42 points.
Then it's Isaac Ajar in ninth with 21 points.
Moving swiftly on to in 10th. Do you reckon he's 10th because of his 10 second penalties? Esteban Ocon racing for Haas with 20 points.
Then it's Hülkenberg in 11th, driving for Kick Saber with 16 points.
Fair play to him on that. One race, 16 points.
What a guy. What a fucking guy.
12th position, Lance Stroll in 12th position, Lance Stroll with 14 points.
That's the weight of gold that his dad gives him a week. Then it's the smooth operator in 13th with Williams, with 12 points.
Yuki Tsunoda in 14th with 10 points.
15th, Pierre Gasly in the Alpine with 11 points.
And then Oliver Bearman with 6 points in 16th.
Liam Lawson, Red Bull's apparently favourite driver and then wasn't and got kicked back to V-Carb with 4 points.
I'm just trying to work out here how listing is 18th and 19th, Gabriel Bortoletto, Franco Colapinto with no points, but then Fernando Alonso is 20th with 2 points.
Look, let's not get bogged down.
That was, I don't know. I don't know why it's like that. Maybe there's a reasoning.
Anyway, the last predictions, it says Imola, but it was actually the last race. I just copied and pasted.
Yeah.
But the last race, which was the Spanish Grand Prix, I said Norris, Piastri, Leclerc.
Oh, hang on. Where's the actual results?
The race results.
That's what I was trying to grab there.
On this page. So I got two. Technically, I get 3 points. No, hang on. How does this work? Because I got the three drivers. I just got Norris and Piastri the wrong way around.
So you get a point for each driver you get in the right position.
So I get 2 points? No, I don't. I get 1 point. Fuck.
So let me just pull up the spreadsheet here real quick. So we've got, because I've got the...
And what was your dad's?
I've got that in here. So Renault, Spain. Yeah, here we go. So your prediction, just tell me if I'm wrong here, Norris, Piastri, Leclerc.
Yep.
And mine was Piastri, Russell, Norris.
Yep.
And my dad's was Verstappen, Russell, Leclerc. So working it out, what was the actual result?
The actual result was Piastri, Norris, Leclerc.
Hang on. So Piastri.
Norris.
Norris, Leclerc. And
this
then,
is how organised we are.
So both you and my old man get 1 point for Leclerc. Yeah. Then
you get 1 point for Piastri.
And then I get 1 point. So we all get one point. So that's not bad.
Right, the next race is the Canadian GP.
Oh, before we jump into the next race, where are we in our point standings? So currently in the lead is me with 9 points, then my dad with 6 points, and you right behind him with 5. All it takes is for one person, one of you two, to get one bang on prediction and you'll go straight
to the top. And get the 4 points.
So that is, yeah, you know, it's, yeah. So let's jump straight in.
Right.
So next... So we haven't got a race this Sunday.
It's next Sunday.
It's a gap week. So there's that. But this, the following week is the Canadian Grand Prix. So, and it is on, for us UK guys.
It is on, hang on, I will tell you.
Right, Tom Farley.
It is on.
Is what I was going to say.
Oh, shit. But it is on 1900 UK time.
Yeah, 7 p.m.
There you go.
7 p.m. start. I'm trying to...
7 p.m., 2 p.m. start in Canada.
Canada. That's the one.
The land of craft dinner.
Craft dinner. It is. The Canadian Grand Prix is the Pirelli Grand Prix de Canada.
Sensational.
At the circuit, Gilles Nerves. The more you know.
The more you know. Anyway, so I'm saying get the predictions up.
I've just come out of the predictions to go into that. But it's all good.
Can you update the documents or whenever we do it?
Yeah,
sensational.
I'm trying to build something that when I put it into this massive predictions throughout the season sheet, when we put it into the podcast script,
yeah,
it goes automatically into this. But yeah, we're going to get there. Sorry for the technical jargon there, guys. But yeah.
But believe it or not, a lot of stuff just happens behind the scene that we don't get to talk about.
Yeah. So round 10, Canada prediction. Sam, hit me with your best shot.
Piastri P1.
Obviously. I'm going to go with the same.
Norris P2.
Okay, Norris P2. Brave. Who are you going to go for P3? Are you looking at the driver standings or the race results?
I'm looking at race results versus the standings, mate. Oh, fuck it, I'm just going to be...
You're going to be bait and go for Max?
No, you know what? Fuck it, nah. Yeah, fuck it, we're going Max.
You're going to go Max? Okay, fair play.
We're going Max because I want them 4 points. I want you to pay for a fucking shababs for me.
So I'm obviously going to go Piastri as well on my prediction for P1. I think I'm going to go for a Norris, but I'm not going to go for Verstappen. I think I'm going to go again for basically what this race result was, which was Leclerc.
I was tempted to go for Leclerc, but I was...
It's realistically the three choices that you've got for P3 is Verstappen, Leclerc, Russell, or Leclerc.
Yeah.
That's, I think that's how it kind of...
However, wait till you see the notes on Canada, you're going to piss yourself.
Okay.
Right, so anyway, bit of info about Sunday the 15th of June, the Canadian Grand Prix Circuit de Gilles Nerve in Montreal, Canada. Free practice is 18:30 UK time. Free practice 2 is 10 o'clock. Free practice 3, no one cares. Quali is 2100.
So, ooh, nice 9 p.m.
Nice 9 p.m.
Are we driving?
Oh, shit, I'm going to have to watch that work. No, I'm not, Joe.
I am not.
Anyway, the actual race is at what time, Dominic?
7 p.m.
7 p.m.
UK time.
I will be at Formula One Arcade, Birmingham. Pass on through, but what to watch for?
Hang on, you skipped over the race will consist over.
Okay.
70 laps. That's one of the highest lap counts. I know it's a short circuit.
It's a short circuit because in case you do or don't know, Tom, some F1 knowledge, it's not about laps. They have to travel a certain amount of kilometers.
Yeah. And it usually averages to about 90 minutes of racing, doesn't it? So, yeah. Yeah, fair. So the total distance approximately will be 305.27 kilometres, or for us that use the weird ones, 189.7 miles.
We use freedom units.
Yeah, nearly 200 miles. Mm, but go on. So what are we watching for on the Canadian Grand Prix, Sam?
Well, obviously, the big thing is a championship battle between Lando and Piastri, and you know that's going to be, honestly, whatever the outcome of this is, it's going to be fucking tense on those last couple of races, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, I feel Abu Dhabi is going to be stressed when that comes on.
Well, what are we up? So Piastri's 10 points ahead of Norris.
Yeah, it says on there.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
See how organised I am.
Smart.
I know. Obviously, with McLaren taking a 1-2 again, can they continue to dominate in Montreal? That's really interesting.
Well, considering we both predicted a McLaren 1-2.
I think also Verstappen, I know I put him as my P3, but he's under pressure to behave himself and to not
be a dick.
Finish
the race cleanly.
And but also
finish fast and in as high a points position as possible. Because Russell, he's how many points? Like, you know, enough. I'm not quick enough at maths, but like, you know.
Quick math.
What? 20 odd points.
You know, so. And it could be a fight back for Ferrari as well. Could we see Ferrari as a win? Potentially, unlikely, but potentially. Or even Ferrari on the podium again.
I was going to say, well, I put Leclerc in my prediction. Yeah. So.
Could we see Hamilton make a pullback?
What do you think about that, Jack? I know you're listening.
he'll tell me Sunday. If he's working. Hi, Jack. We need to, you know, we've got a third mic. We need to get him on the casting couch.
We do. We'll get him in. I think
there's a weather factor as well. Obviously, Canada. It could be a wet race. It could be fucking sunny.
It's a Spa-esque kind of thing.
Yeah, like but it's Canada, so it's really mad.
Yeah,
like it's crazy weather. But also, there's no home crowd energy because there's no Canadian driver on the grid. However.
Yeah, that's the thing that I think a lot of people were talking about.
Have you read the notes?
Yeah, if he's recovered in time because of Stroll.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lance Stroll.
Well, if he's not recovered in time, Stroll won't be competing in his home Grand Prix. Not that he'd win it anyway, but, and I don't want to take that away from him, but yeah.
Yeah, it's still racing on your own turf, isn't it? Because,
I mean, look at Alonso and Sainz in the last race.
Yeah.
Well, Alonso finished just in the points, didn't he? So,
yeah. It's one of them ones where the support you get when it's your home turf as well.
Yeah. Well, look, even when it's not your home turf, obviously there's not an Argentinian race, but last season, the support that Franco Colapinto got in Brazil, considering...
Well, it's Latin America, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, there wasn't a Brazilian driver on the grid, but back then...
I mean, there is now.
Yeah. But Colapinto got some incredible support and ended up crashing and... Still, everyone was like, Franco, yay.
Yeah.
So.
But, you know, I think that's everything for this episode. Thank you so much as always, Dom. It's been emotional. Where can we find you?
You can find me at DJ Dom Cook on all the socials.
You can find me at Santiago Silvano on all the socials. Or you can follow my car and the stupid things I'm doing that on Silvano Motorsport.
I didn't know that you changed your Instagram for your car recently. I was trying to tell someone to find it. And I was like, no, this is what it is. And they're like, well, it's not coming up, but this is. And I was like,
yeah, it's Silvana Moat. I felt it's more fitting there, being as I'm actually trying to race it.
Zoomies. But yeah, so you can follow the podcast at BoxBoxBoxPod on practically everything apart
except for X, because somebody's a dick.
Yeah. I think someone like did a podcast and did like 3 episodes and went,
this is fucking effort. It is, you know, it takes a lot of work. But other than that,
it's crazy. It's hectic.
Other than that, we will have short form content coming back out. We use a company called Opus Clip and they're just making our lives hell at the minute.
It's been pain, but we're catching up. We're good.
It is what it is. Anyway, Dominic, we're there. 20 episodes.
20 episodes. Here's to 20 more.
Oh, fuck.
and the season still won't be over.
Fuck's sake. Anyway, I've been Sam.
I've been Dom.
See you next week.
Love you, bye.
Oh, quick one. Before we leave, I had an idea and I'm putting it to you.
Okay.
I've told you about this idea. I want to do once a month a special episode just to catch up with me and Dom, because the last time we did it, it got really good traction. But I want to do it as a bonus episode. So if you're on Apple Music or Spotify, it'll just show up as a bonus episode.
But it'll be a YouTube episode as well.
Yeah, it will be a YouTube episode, but YouTube would show up as a standard upload. But basically, I want to do Box, 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 The Pit Wall. So it's basically just me and him chatting shit and have a catch up with us two. We don't talk about the cool shit we're always doing.
I think we don't talk about it in fear of losing interest during an episode.
Yeah.
Which is understandable.
If it's a separate episode.
Yeah, that's it. We don't expect people to come and listen to Box, 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 the Formula One podcast, and then us talk about what shit we got up to that week. So, like I say, as a bonus episode, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, we're still...
You don't have to listen to it if you just want to listen to us chat shit about Formula One and throw shade at Lance Stroll and Max Verstappen, but...
Other than that, I've actually been Sam.
As opposed to...
Steve.
Yeah. And I'm still Dom and have been Dom the entire time. So,
see you later.
A pleasure. Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.